Friends, we are gathered here to praise God and to witness to our faith as we celebrate the life of those who were lost on September 11th. We come together in grief, acknowledging our human loss. May God grant us grace that in pain we find comfort, in sorrow hope, and in death resurrection. Amen. I'm sure that everybody has burned in their memory where they were when all of this happened. I was next door at the parsonage getting ready to take Amanda to the airport, and that's our youngest daughter. And on the way to the airport, we heard on the radio that a small plane had hit a building in New York. And we both were talking about it, thinking, well, that, you know, it was a plane that was off course. It was a plane that went into a building, and isn't that horrible? Thinking about, were there people in the building? We were talking about it. I got her out to the airport. She was flying back to her boat. She was worked on yachts at the time, and I was taking her back to the airport to go back out onto a ship. And I was driving back, and I was listening to the radio, and now it became very clear that it wasn't as simple as we had thought. And when I got home, I turned on the TV, and I couldn't sit down. I found myself standing right in front of the TV. I just was frozen, watching it unfold, watching the tower literally come down, and all the implosion. And I stood there frozen. I really didn't know what to do. I didn't know what I should be doing. And after a few moments, I realized what I had to do was I had to come over here. Because at this moment, what was going to be most important was not what was happening to me, but what was happening to us. And so I got all ready, and I came over, and Sheena and I put a TV in the office, and we continued to watch. And the phone rang, and it was Amanda. She wasn't going anywhere. She was at the airport for a few days. She was not allowed to leave. I was not allowed to go get her. But what I remember most about her phone call was that she said that the people in the airport were all very upset at the inconvenience of what was happening to them. They wanted their bags. They wanted to go home. They wanted to get on a flight. And I don't think anybody at this point had the magnitude of what was happening wrapped around their brain. And my daughter, who is, how can I put this? More forceful and outgoing than I am, just kind of get an image there, was listening to all these people yell and scream, and she decided, she just yelled in the terminal for everybody to stop. She said, "Do you hear what we're doing? There are people who have died. I think we should have a moment of prayer." And she led the airport, the people who were closest to her, in a prayer, and that got everyone kind of calmed down and focused on the fact that not being able to get out of there for a while was not going to be the most horrible thing. The most horrible thing was already happening. We all have memories. We all have feelings, sadness, outrage, anger, fear. In the days that followed, all the feelings came up, including retaliation and revenge, because we were vulnerable in ways that we, most of us, had never experienced in our country. There are people who have gone to war, and they know the fear of what it feels like to be around that kind of death. But in our own country, we hadn't experienced it. And so what came in the days that followed was both the best of humanity and the worst of humanity. We are in this month the season of creation. And last Sunday we heard the beautiful reading of God's evolution of how the world and the sun and the stars and everything came into being. Beautiful, beautiful images. Out of chaos came the sky and the sun and the animals and the plants. And then this week you heard Pastor Carey say, and now humanity has been added to this equation, God's creation of humanity, the last element in the evolution of thought, sending new kinds of creatures into the formula, creatures who can think, creatures who can decide, creatures who have thumbs. The world changed forever as we evolved into who we are. Dow Chemical has a commercial on TV, and the slogan for the commercial for their company is, "The one element that changes everything is the human element." I'm not sure there's a truer statement in any commercial on television. The one element that changes everything is the human element. That day, 10 years ago, the lives of millions changed because of the human element. Unlike hurricanes and floods and tornadoes and earthquakes, this moment was chosen. This moment was chosen by people who believed they were doing something right, who actually believed they were doing something necessary, and who believed that it was righteous in the eyes of their God. So right, they were willing to die for it. This human element that changed everything. That was a technical element that changed everything. And on and on and on, the human element is still part of the story. The first responders, people who were brave, people who died, people who have illnesses now, who were willing to go in to save whoever they could, even as the dust and the ashes flew. And then there were the people who died, and the people who were hurt. The people at the Pentagon, and the people on Flight 93, and the people in the World Trade Center, the human element that broke our hearts then and continues to break our hearts today. And what happened after that moment is that the world came together. Do you remember? Do you remember how we came together? Something that I hadn't experienced in a really, really long time. The world grieved with us. There was a sense of solidarity with every human on the planet. But we also, the voices got louder and louder and louder as time went on that said, no, 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 we can't do this. We must retaliate. We have to find the revenge in this. And all the feelings that we had got twisted and more complicated. And our life of faith seemed like it kept moving further away. That's what it felt like to me. It was at first we were united as humans with one purpose, and then suddenly the divisions started to rise again and the walls went up. Our humanity is so complicated. All those emotions, some of them holy, some of them unholy. The human element changed everything. God said the creation was good, but everywhere around us things were broken and shattered. And the one element that changed everything was the human element. The gospel lesson this morning comes right after James and John have said to Jesus, which one of us will be the bestest? Which one of us is going to get to sit on your right? Which one of us is going to get to sit on your left? Lance and I saw a bumper sticker last week that says, Jesus loves you, but I'm his favorite. So listen to what Jesus said. He called all those disciples together and he said, "You know how among the Gentiles those who exercise authority are domineering and arrogant? Those great ones know how to make their own importance felt, but it can't be like that with you. Anyone among you who aspires to greatness must serve the rest. Whoever wants to rank first among you must serve the needs of all. The promised one has come not to be served, but to serve, to give one life in ransom for the many." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So who is first? The one who wants to be last. That Jesus was always making this really hard to do. He's trying to teach these disciples that he's frustrated with that he came to serve. That he himself is the image of what they should be imitating. There should be no first. There is only the needs of all. The one element that changes everything is the human element. And certainly he was the human element. God's desire for us as humanity was revealed through Jesus as he becomes the Christ, the one who did not waver from his belief in all humanity. You heard Pastor Kerry say, "Let us make humankind in our image to be like us, not to look like us, but to be like us, a reflection of the divine image." The image of our faith is the cross. And I want to tell you that there are days when I struggle with that image, when I see it, when it hangs here, because I see death and I see shame and I see struggle. But other days I see it and I see forgiveness. I see a call to forgive others as I have been forgiven. I see a call to love one another as I have loved you, he said. I see a symbol of eternal love. God with us in all of our trials as we struggle with our pain and our grief over everything in our life and for that horrible day. Because the one element that changed everything was human. Jesus is an expression of God's eternal love, of God's forgiveness, of God's unwavering compassion for the whole creation. At the end of his life, the human element stood by his teachings, even though he knew what would happen to him. God had revealed to him what it meant to be human in a complicated and contentious world, and he never wavered. That's the symbol of the cross, that humankind was created as God's reflection in the divine image they were created. When I think of the cross now, I think of how open it is. It isn't just a symbol of someone dying. It is a symbol of someone saying, "This is how open you are to be, even to the point of death." It is a lot to ask of us. We are complicated and contentious beings, even with our opposable thumbs. We are now the divine image and reflection of God. If Jesus did one thing, he passed it on to us. When he says to his disciples, "You are to serve," that did not get caught in time. It has traveled every moment. It is here right now. We are the human element that can change everything. So may we, on this day, find peace in the knowledge that God's love is eternal. May we, on this day of days, find the courage to follow Christ into a future where the human element is the reflection of how he taught us to love. And on this day, may everything we do bring healing and reconciliation to the world that God created and said it was good. Amen.